Good evening, my friends. We have a great deal to cover this evening. Thank you for joining with us, and Kathleen is in band taking care of those items for us tonight. I will be with you in studio. Tonight we are talking about identity, and identity insofar as the human technology interaction is concerned. And we have quite a few scriptures to cover. I'll take them down from the screen here in just a moment, but I want to give everyone an opportunity, if you're just joining us, to jot those down. But this is human technology interaction, another way of describing brain-computer interface. We're not going to talk about the interface as much as we are going to talk about what it means for humans to interface, to interact, to exist with, to live with, if you will, technology. And we're going to be specific in this. We're going to look at not only what is our identity from God's perspective, and all of these scriptures on the screen have to do with our God-given identity. We're also going to look at a document tonight that one of you sent to me just a couple of hours ago from the World Economic Forum, which builds upon the cover of this month's magazine, which is the data that is generated and our interaction with the data. And so what I'd like to do is look at that document in some detail tonight, and it will be, of course, included in the March edition of Entangled Magazine. And by the way, the magazine is going to be delayed. It'll be out perhaps tomorrow, perhaps Thursday. I'm still trying to winnow down all of the information that I have. And that's always a long process to say, well, what am I going to keep? What am I going to set aside? Because there's so much I like to say in the live streams, and there's so much that I like to say in the magazine. But it needs to be reasonable. So this document from the World Economic Forum that I'm going to introduce tonight will have several excerpts to it in the magazine with regard to what is referred to as a data intermediary. Think of it as the old PDAs, the personal data assistant on steroids. Okay? We're also going to be talking about language and the confounding of the languages with the Tower of Babel, just as a brief reference, but specifically the language of information, which is mathematics. So what we're doing here is we are pulling together, we're coalescing, and this is what's happening with the magazine, coalescing mathematics in the forms of quantum mechanics, quantum computing specifically, bioinformatics, which is the information of biology, specifically DNA, the informatics of DNA, DNA modification, again, leading to the discussion of our identity, and artificial intelligence as part of quantum computing. It's fascinating. I presented to you not long ago the word association of when you hear quantum computing, think AI, and conversely. And the more that I've been reading into this since making that initial merging of the two, the more that it is clearly obvious that there is a triad that has been formed. Quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and DNA. So it's not just by chance, not just by coincidence, that you and I as a group have been examining that triad of quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and DNA for so long. Because this truly is what is coalescing at this point. And it does not bode well for humanity. You and I know that. So I have the four scriptures on the screen. I'll read that for the benefit of people who are only listening, perhaps listening to the audio MP3 later. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. And Philippians 1, verse 6. Okay? So I'll be reading these. I'll go ahead and take them down now just so that it's a little less jumbled on the image there. And as always, we'll leave the title of tonight's live stream up. So, as I said about the magazine, just I appreciate your patience. It looks like it's going to be another 100 page. I'll try to not make it as long as the last one. February was 130. Like I said, there's a lot coming at us and a lot to cover. So let's go right into our scriptures. I really want to set the foundation by doing that. So as I said, tonight we're talking about identity, the human technology interaction. My notes on identity are the following, just a couple of sentences. Digital binary has its origins in divination, specifically in our examination of geomancy. Think about Adam and Eve, the original binary. Now, what he's creating with this new race of beings, is the human 2.0 or 3.0, or someone said in band just before we went live, maybe they'll just skip to human 666. And I appreciate that. But it's his binary. His changing of the DNA is changing the original binary of Adam and Eve. It's a different way of looking at Adam and Eve. He's counterfeiting the original binary by creating in his image, which is the image of technology, the science of the craft, in his image, in his hubris, creating humans in his image, which the DNA reflects that image, which, as I said in the last live stream, is a synthetic biological human, a synth. And this digital identity equals the loss of self-identity, as we will examine tonight, which equals no longer in the image of God, but of Satan, which equals leading to surveillance and loss of privacy, which equals serfdom, serf class, which ultimately equals or leads to perdition. So that's my shorthand of identity, human technology interaction. So let's go to the four. Do I have four? Yeah, four scriptures for tonight. I'm adding one here if you're writing these down. Genesis 11, verses 8 and 9. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's go to identity itself with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Now with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. And finally, Philippians 1, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Remember how Kathleen has so often used the word augmentation? As Satan tries to augment the human DNA, utilizing quantum computing, quantum science, quantum mechanics, merged with AI, one and the same, utilizing those tools to change the DNA, thus in their own scientific jargon, augmenting God's original design, we will advance, we will be augmented and continue the process of augmentation well beyond that of Satan's puny attempts through technology. And that good work, that augmentation, will be brought to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to finish scripture with going to Genesis 11, verses 8 and 9. This is a little bit out of order, but I want to present this up front. In a little bit, we'll be talking about mathematics and language and the Tower of Babel, but let's read the scripture. So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel. For there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from that place the Lord scattered them over the face of all the earth. When I use the word coalescing with respect to technology and events, we are seeing the reversal of Genesis 11 verses 8 and 9. We see that the world is pulling together, not into one city, one location, but into one race of beings in the image of Satan. A one world global governance under the Antichrist. The mind being pulled into a hive mind devoid of identity, personal identity, individual identity. All of that is going away. They presented with a benevolent spin to it, that humanity joined with a hive mind, hive DNA, will somehow become more empathetic towards one another as they share one another's thoughts, emotions, laughter, and fear. They lose their identity. They lose their individual thoughts, and they lose their individual languages, along with the loss of their individual thoughts, their individual brain activity. Dare I say, their own consciousness, and perhaps even their own spirit, perhaps even their soul, with this loss of personal identity. We were created in the image of God, but God created us all uniquely. It's been said in the scientific literature that we share 96% of our genomic identity with the chimpanzee, referring to the chimpanzee as our cousin, leaving only about 4% that makes us unique, that gives us our Homo sapien identity, apart from the chimpanzee. And of course, they attribute this to millions of years of evolution. Well, why hasn't the chimpanzee evolved into a human? Why have not the great apes evolved into chimpanzees, into humans? It's illogical to say that evolution produced Homo sapiens. That's a long debate obvious. But that which is unique to us is being changed. And it reminds me of another scripture. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. There's another layer to that. When they say that we will be more empathetic towards one another when we are all of one identity, of one mind, through the interaction, the interfacing with technology. How is that possible? That man will lose his fallen state that leads to wars, that leads to sudden destruction. When they claim through technology and the hive identity, a utopian existence, how can that be when man is still in a fallen state? And I will take it a step further and say, beyond the fallen state, with their DNA, having not been saved, they've not been saved through Jesus Christ, but nonetheless, they still had, prior to vaccination, they had their original DNA. How is it then when the DNA is modified through the vaccinations they've been receiving and will receive, and the continuation of that modification of DNA, along with the other ingredients of technology that are contained in the so-called vaccines, how can man arise from a fallen state with the original DNA to a utopian state, to a false state of false salvation through Satan? It's illogical. Nonetheless, we will, as I've been saying, we will look through that window. We will see through that glass, not dimly, because our knowledge through the Lord is increasing. It's becoming clearer and clearer as we look through that window, we look through that glass at the technologies that are employed, originating from Satan. We are able to see where humanity is being led to on the wide, broader path. So we will continue in the March edition of Entangled to examine that evidence, looking through that window that God has provided us, the window of discernment. Tonight we will look at, in summary fashion, examples of that technology. I should speak something about Ukraine, and I have some slides prepared with that, but I'm going to hold it towards the latter part of tonight's presentation. I really feel a sense of urgency to share this technology with you. There's plenty of news coverage on Ukraine. I have some historical information that I wanted to share with you, recent history, but history nonetheless, that I want to share with you that may add a broader dimension of our understanding of this conflict, okay? But I want to dive right into identity. Let me read something to you. This is from a peer-reviewed paper. I'll include the title and link in the magazine, but I just want to stick to a few excerpts here tonight. I want you to hear their perspective, their language, their paradigm about humanity. And this particular paper has to do with what we might call human 2.0 or even 3.0. This is about, in a positive spin, from their perspective, not mine, the alteration of the DNA, the changing of the identity of the human to accelerate what they consider to be evolution, the rate of evolution, by employing technologies that you've all heard here before, like CRISPR, quantum computing, artificial intelligence. But let's start with the language, the common language, taking our cues from the Tower of Babel, the scattering of the peoples, the scattering of the language into diverse languages, the Babel. The technology triad. The time has come for synthetic biology, AI, and quantum computing to join hands and form a purposeful, integrated discipline to further explore the secrets of life, create new life, and find harmonious ways by which Homo sapiens can evolve. How they actually can create a new type of human is what this paper is going through. And again, I'm not going to divulge it at this point. It'll be linked out in the paper. When they say synthetic biology, this is what we've talked about in the last few live streams. This goes way back years ago when we were first talking about in silico DNA, and then coming fast forward to COVID-19, the SARS-CoV-2 so-called virus that was created in a computer in silico. This is synthetic biology. What we have been confronting with this whole pandemic is synthetic biology, both in the form of a so-called virus and in the so-called vaccines. I continue to say so-called because this is nothing more than genetic manipulation, modification, and warfare upon God's creation, upon His original creation, our original design, our original identity. All of what has been coalescing in the major scientific disciplines has been focused, as I've said many times, upon DNA. Synthetic DNA, the synthesis of DNA. And this is what we've experienced with the pandemic. Synthetic messenger RNA, which itself is derived from DNA. That's the normal, as they refer to it, the normal molecular biological dogma is that first there is DNA, which then transcribes to RNA, which then translates to protein, expresses proteins. You all know this. But with the so-called virus, SARS-CoV-2, which was synthesized, was created in the laboratory. Remember Dr. Luc Montagnier, the late Dr. Luc Montagnier, and the HIV inserts. I provide some refreshers, some excerpts of what we've presented several times back in 2020 in Entangle magazine. I provide in a refresher, very short, couple of pages, refresher on that research and those inserts and the proof that this was a synthetic creation, unique creation in the laboratory, definitive scientific proof. SARS-CoV-2, unlike any other coronavirus SARS strain or phenotype. So synthetic biology has been in our face and in our life. It has not gone well for humanity. And yet they persist in pursuing synthetic biology. And when you hear that, it is not just specific to DNA and RNA, but to all of the components of biology that make up a human, and even our environment. We know about the environmental modifications, the synthetic recreation of our environment, which does affect our DNA, both from experiences and from direct exposure, contact with our environment. This alters our DNA. But synthetic biology, the easy way to encapsulate this is to focus on the human body and all of the cells comprising the human body. We spent a lot of time recently focusing on the neurons of the human brain. Certainly, synthetic biology applies to the redesigning, reorienting, repatterning of the human brain, but this extends to all of the cells in the body. Remember how we've been talking about biosensors and biocomputing? Well, chemical biology is referenced as chemistry that operates logically in the reductionist simplification of biological chemistry. They are reducing this down to the yes, no, on, off functions of chemistry within the sphere of biology. The chemicals that make up our human body, reduced down to logic gate functions. In the way that they view it, the paradigm, the way that they model the chemical actions in the body that comprise the body, the chemistry, reducing that down to simple binary yes, no, on, off logic gates. That's the model of how they view the mechanisms, the mechanics of the human body. Just to say, chemically, in the combining or separation of chemicals, the not only the coalescing, but the merging of chemicals, merging of electrons, sharing of electrons, giving up electrons, the ions, or even the giving up or exchanging of protons, which are 2,000 times heavier than electrons. And this leads into a deeper discussion, this sharing of electrons and protons in chemistry, which is the mechanical paradigm of looking at how our body operates. But it dives deeper into quantum mechanics, viewing that giving up of electrons and protons between chemicals, between molecules. That mechanistic process is actually a quantum mechanical process. Quantum, because we're talking about the fundamental particles that make up an atom, which then make up a molecule. And so at the atomic level, the electrons and protons are exchanging between one another. These are the chemical reactions in the human body. But because they're fundamental particles, they're considered quantum particles, electrons, protons, and even the neutrons of the nucleus. And as such, at that subatomic scale, there are non-classical actions that are taking place, non-classical physics, what you would consider to be Newtonian and Galilean and Archimedes. Those actions are classical. Those apply to the atom and above, the macro. But when we go to the atomic scale, we are now talking about quantum actions, behaviors, phenomena, and mysteries. This is all familiar language for all of you. But the reason that I'm focusing down here is because when we get to the quantum scale of examining the atom and the different so-called axioms or laws of quantum mechanics, those in quantum science, and this includes biologists, chemists, computer engineers, software engineers, hardware engineers, all of the scientific disciplines pulling together into the world of quantum now. Remember I said that quantum mechanics is the overarching umbrella covering all scientific disciplines of today. And so they have all pulled together. It's as if they finally awoke and realized, oh, we're under this big quantum mechanical umbrella. So now we have to dive deep into the quantum scale as a biologist, as a chemist, as a computer scientist, and examine things, our physics, our physical materials, and our energies, our particles and our waves, and the wave-particle duality of such. We have to adopt a quantum mechanical paradigm within our specific discipline of chemistry, biology, computer science, and so forth. So with the quantum mechanical paradigm in mind, this examination of what creates our identity, we've spoken in the recent past about what creates our consciousness, what gives rise to our consciousness. And we talked a bit on quantum mechanics and the quantum scale and the quantum mathematics. In an attempt through Penrose and Hameroff and others to discover the origins of consciousness, what gives rise to it within the human mind, perhaps even within the body in its entirety, and how it manifests and how it behaves, consciousness. And can that be imparted mechanistically, mathematically, into what is known today as artificial intelligence? Can we build an AI through quantum mechanics, quantum computing, that can achieve consciousness? And we've gone through that. So with that in mind, we now are looking at quantum mechanical biology. Biology that not only in the scientific jargon is responsible for our consciousness from their perspective, not from God's perspective, not from mine and Kathleen's perspective, and I would venture to say all of you would not consider consciousness to arrive purely from the chemistry of the body, from purely from biology, purely from quantum mechanical models to explain consciousness. There's more to it than that. I think you would all agree. But in this quantum mechanical reductionist process, to take everything to a mechanical level of explanation, comes the common language of mathematics. Again, familiar to all of you. But let's listen a little bit to their explanation. The time has come for synthetic biology, AI, and quantum computing to join hands and form a purposeful integrated discipline to further explore the secrets of life, create life, and find harmonious ways by which Homo sapiens can evolve. The main responsibility will fall on the shoulders of the millennials, the technology triad, CRISPR, AI, and quantum computing, share some important properties. The ability to create, share, process, and communicate information in digital form. And this is getting to the heart of the matter. We spent a lot of time talking about the digitizing of DNA. That was one of the very first public articles that I ever published. It was published in another magazine before Entangled was founded. Digitized DNA. I even spoke of digitized DNA with respect to activities at CERN. So it is a digital form, the reductionist language, a digital form of synthetic biology. When we hear digital form, we're of course talking binary, zero and one. The counterfeit of Adam and Eve with respect to DNA being reduced to zeros and ones, a digital form. Mathematics is a language plus reasoning. It is like a language plus logic. Mathematics is a tool for reasoning. It is impossible to explain honestly the beauties of the laws of nature in a way that people can feel without having some deep understanding of mathematics. So the laws of nature, which are God's laws, actually don't like the word nature in this context. But God's laws, reduced to a model, a tangible, visible model of God's laws through mathematics. Now, I'm not a mathematician. I barely made it through algebra and geometry in high school. I did not study mathematics in college. Maybe that's why I take great exception to reducing God's laws down to some mathematical formulae. To say that we don't have an understanding about these laws, we don't understand biology, which is our focus tonight, unless we can represent biology in a mathematical form. Again, this is the reductionism, which is akin to a philosophy of science, reductionism. It's a way of viewing matter and energy is through reducing it to its simplest form. So let's listen a little more. Mathematics is the lingua franca. Now I had to look that up. I hadn't run across that before. This is Latin, of course. Lingua franca. This is a common language. This is a bridge language. Lingua franca. Mathematics is a common language of the physicists because a formal mathematical statement to be of any value is either true or false. It cannot be true to some and false to others. This is the reason why knowledge based on any axiomatic system, that is, a consistent system in which every valid statement or query has a yes or no answer that can be arithmetized, in other words, translated into arithmetical statements. Statements of arithmetic that are then encoded in a binary string and processed in a digital computer. So yes, no, in a transistor, which is a gate that allows electrons to flow if you open the gate, But if you close the gate, the electrons stop their movement. That's what a transistor does. That open and close, it correlates to yes, no, which correlates to zero or one. This is the binary string, and processed in a digital computer. Mathematics is the language that binds men and machine together in a rational dialogue. In short, axiomatic systems permit men and machines to mutually communicate without ambiguity or confusion. This is the foundation on which artificial intelligence rests. So, the foundation of AI is binary, is the common language, the agreed upon yes or no. A statement that can be answered, quantified as a yes statement or a no statement, an on or off, which is digital. This is the example that I'm giving you, a very large example of the reductionist theory in science to reduce the complexity of our biology down to zeros and ones, to yes, no statements. And as they're saying here with respect to AI, this produces that common language. Tower of Babel, right? This common language that Satan has provided. Now, why do I say Satan? How can I say Satan? What is my basis for that statement? What is my logical argument that leads me to a logical conclusion that yes, the origins of binary reductionism of all that makes us who we are and what we are arises from the pit of hell? It's quite a statement. How do I back it up? You all know the answer. Adam and Eve. It is a counterfeiting to reduce biology, specifically DNA, down to zero and one, to binary, to yes, no, is to counterfeit the original binary, the original pair, Adam and Eve. But let's make it more directly tangible, since they're into talking about mathematics being tangible, giving rise in a tangible fashion, in a mathematical expression, the laws of nature, but really the laws of God. The tangible is divination. You knew I was going to go back to that. You knew I always go back to divination. Specifically, geomancy. It is a binary language. Divination is interdimensional communication. That is the common language of obtaining from fallen angels forbidden knowledge. That is the language of the fallen angels. We know this because it was given to man so that man could communicate with fallen angels through divination. We know that divination works, that it's valid, that there's a logic to it, that there are certain axioms, certain laws, with respect to different forms of divination and how they are to be carried out, laws that are prescribed by the fallen angels, prescribed for the purpose of a common language by which forbidden knowledge could be shared with man. That's how I know that it arises, the binary language arises from the pit of hell. We look at the fruits of that language. We look at the applications. We look at the works. We look at what is going on today as the works of the binary language. Is it malevolent or benevolent? Is it yes or no? You see, we are stuck with, we are fully immersed in, we are indoctrinated in this modern age, in this information age, in this computer age, in this quantum mechanical age, in this AI age, we are so immersed in thinking digitally, in operating in a digital fashion, that we don't really think about the origins of it because it has become so ubiquitous, so common, the common language to the global community, that we don't give it a second thought as to its specific origin. When you identify the origin, then you understand its purpose. And when you understand its purpose, you understand the final outcome of that purpose. This is logical thinking. Okay? Our guide is the Word of God, who tells us how all of this unfolds, tells us historically the origin of what we are immersed in today. And through the leadings of the Holy Spirit, the revelations that increase our knowledge as we look through this window and examine technology, the science of the craft. The craft in this dialogue is divination. Back in the time of Napoleon Bonaparte, this mathematician of the day, Pierre Simon Marquis de La Place, did not acknowledge God as the creator of the universe. In his mathematical magnum opus on celestial mechanics, he famously told Napoleon Bonaparte, quote, "I had no need for that hypothesis with regard to God." He didn't even consider God as part of his mathematical modeling and explanation of the celestial mechanics of the universe. Talk about hubris. I would imagine when Pierre Simon Marquis de La Place finally left this earth, his physical form, he found himself in a place separated from God and probably wished he did have need for that hypothesis. Creating and advancing rational knowledge requires an ability to communicate thoughts concisely, precisely, and accurately, apart from refining knowledge by trial and error. That is, by making our conjectures fitter and fitter for survival. He's using, obviously, the evolutionary paradigm. Benjamin Lee Wolfe, 1897 to 1941, said, quote, "Language shapes the way we think and determines what we can think about." Let's think about that for a moment. Language shapes the way we think and determines what we can think about. Let's focus on language, the origin of language, the common language. If the language we are using is strictly a binary logic gate language, then that shapes the way we think, according to Lee Wolfe. And it determines what we can think about. I just mentioned separation from God. If our DNA is changed, and it is changed in a manner not of God, and it changes the way that our brain operates, because our brain is produced from DNA. If you change our origin, if you change the source of our identity, our identity changes. Our way of thinking changes, and what we think about changes. Do you think that Satan, in the modification of DNA, therefore the way that we think, and certainly the changing of our identity, our name found in the Book of Life, but if it's changed through technology, the name, the identity is no longer found in the Book of Life, do you think Satan wants us to be thinking about God? To have the ability? If your mind, a person's mind, not yours, but a person's mind, is digitized, reduced down to yes-no logic gate functionality, then by design, Satan has eliminated the ability to think about God. In other words, to seek salvation. This is what awaits the human 2.0. Ludwig Wittgenstein, 1889 to 1951, said, "The limits of my language mean the limits of my world." Okay? If you limit a person's language to binary, then you limit that person's world. If you limit a person's thinking brain, its operational brain, because it's controlled from within by binary actions that are synthetically created, controlled synthetically, because the DNA is synthetic, giving rise to everything in the body, thus being synthetic. If it is a synthetic way of thinking, it changes our language. It changes the normal language, the God-given language, to a binary language. Remember when I said that the pattern of the human mind, the pattern of the electrons within the neurons, the microtubules, the dimers, the entangled electrons of those who have undergone the DNA modification, the rewriting of their name, the changing of their identity, those people, their mind, synthetic mind, has a pattern of electrons that are entangled within that synthetic brain, that pattern matching a pattern of electrons in the quantum computers with which that human brain, synthetic human brain, brain 2.0, is quantum entangled and communicates. This entanglement is binary. Language shapes the way we think and determines what we can think about. The limits of my language mean the limits of my world. Human 2.0 brain is limited to a binary world, limited to a extended reality, as it is called now. That new virtual world, that new augmented world, also known as an extreme reality. This is the reality that is now the world of those that are of one mind. One mind because of one language. That language being digital, being binary. The binary pairing of electrons that are entangled with the binary electrons of the quantum computer that is programmed and operates, and the quantum computer is artificial intelligence built only of a binary language. They have a common language in this brain-computer interface. Okay? So this human technology interaction is built upon this common language that now limits their world. I'm reading to you their promotional public relations script that they promote as a benevolent evolution of humanity through technology. And yet we are applying the big 180, the patch 180, to this whole thing and seeing it very clearly through the window for what it really is, because we understand the origins of all of this. And it is not from God. The power of mathematics lies in its ability to extract unity from diversity by abstraction. That is, by eliminating unnecessary context. It helps in discovering group properties, abstract or otherwise, common to all members of the group. For example, the DNA of a species. So I'm very carefully going through this. This is a very long paper here, and I'm not sharing the whole thing with you tonight, obviously. When I link it out in the magazine on Wednesday or Thursday and you receive it, please take the time to read this specific paper. And I will identify this paper, highlight it for you, and put a note in that says, please read this in its entirety next to the link. Okay? Take your time and digest this applying the patch 180. This is showing you, and this was written in 2018. You see, we understand what is going on in the present and the near future by looking at the near history, the near historical record that identifies what would be happening in the near future, which is the present and slightly beyond to tomorrow, 2018. The power of mathematics lies in its ability to extract unity from diversity. Tower of Babel. It's right there. This is all about reversing the Tower of Babel. This was a scattering of the peoples, which was to scatter the common DNA. This was a scattering of the languages so that they could not continue on their, at that time, technological pursuit, scientific pursuits in the building of the Tower of Babel. That was the diversity of the day. They are in mathematics. Again, the power of mathematics lies in its ability to extract unity from diversity. Do we not hear the word diversity all the time and the promotion of diversity? Again, the patch 180. What does that mean? It means unity. It's bizarre. It's illogical. But it is in scripture. They will call good evil and evil good. When they say diversity, they mean unity. When they mean unity, what does that mean? It means one world government, one world leader, one world religion, unification of man, pulling them back together as the Tower of Babel, with a common language, mathematics, binary. And so to continue on with the agenda and the goals of the Tower of Babel, that ye shall be as gods, that you will ascend to the heavens through the technologies of the day. We know through quantum computing, AI, synthetic biology, the triad, the unholy triad, the unholy trinity, again, exemplary, right in their own article, of the counterfeiting of the Holy Trinity. They use the counterfeit language. But in that unholy alliance of that triad, they're in the end, the goal at the end of this broad path is to circumvent God's coming judgment through his Son by being as little g gods, achieving immortality, the transhumanist agenda of the likes of Ray Kurzweil. Never forget, they in their hubris believe they can cheat judgment and cheat death, that they can cheat perdition through their craft. This is emblematic of the forbidden knowledge, forbidden by God, so as to protect the identity of his creation in his image. Let's continue with the paper. Both AI and quantum computing are inseparable from mathematics. They are a powerful means of processing and interpreting information, for example, in the DNA, as well as aiding in inventing novel DNA for specific purposes. Let's go back to December of 2019 and the new coronavirus. It was called the novel coronavirus. Now, this is nothing new in scientific literature to label something as novel. It's a common usage of the word. The messenger RNA that was the reverse of the central dogma of molecular biology, it was messenger RNA as a virus, so-called, and then the production of messenger RNA-based so-called vaccines that reversed that central dogma to where messenger RNA was giving rise to DNA rather than the other way around, and then giving rise to a glycoprotein 120 spike protein. This is a novel process with a novel virus and a novel vaccine, group of vaccines. A novel reversing, inverting of the biological process of DNA producing RNA, producing producing proteins. You now have RNA in the middle producing DNA that then produces RNA again that then produces protein. Talk about doing a 180. Inventing novel DNA for specific purposes, they say. Both support and are supported by 3D printing that began by making plastic widgets, but now make guns, houses, prosthetic limbs, vehicle parts, etc. from inanimate matter. The day is not far off. This is 2018. The day is not far off when it will advance to printing living, breathing, bioorgans such as hearts and kidneys using nanotechnology, computer-aided engineering, and inanimate biodegradable and biocompatible materials and chemicals to build stem cells. Now, from a stem cell, you can direct, you can steer the direction of those cells. Deterministic cells. cells that will then move in a specific direction of purpose. That's the reason for stem cells. You've heard about stem cells being used in treating cancer, in chemotherapy. You can modify stem cells synthetically so that they will have a specific function and a specific affinity, like cancer cells, to specific cells, and that action will then take place with that specifically targeted cell. So stem cells are the starting point of all of the cells in the human body. Stem cells give rise to organs, to eyes, to skin, to hair, everything. All of the functions in the body arise from stem cells. Okay? And chemicals to build stem cells. When they say chemicals to build, this is the in silico starting point. All of chemistry originates now, not only in classical supercomputer processing, but as I'm publishing in this month's magazine, quantum computers in chemistry to build new chemical formulations that have never been seen, never been imagined, different combinations, new covalent bonds that have never been seen before. The quantum sharing, the quantum tunneling of electrons or protons between the molecules of chemicals. This is the reduction down to examining the actual mechanics of chemistry is quantum mechanical. It is the quantum tunneling action of a proton over to another molecule, over to another atom of a molecule, or electrons. They have determined experimentally that this is a quantum mechanical process known as quantum tunneling. Quantum tunneling is one of the hallmarks of quantum computing. Of course, along with quantum tunneling, there is quantum entanglement in quantum computing. Okay? So using quantum computers to create new, novel stem cells. If that is the starting point for all functioning cells in the human body, to determine what those stem cells will then become in terms of their functional direction, that is designed in silico in the quantum computer, in modern day quantum biology, synthetic biology. In the magazine, I'll share with you a new company that is utilizing quantum computing to design synthetic biology. I've been, if you will, putting out expectations, warnings, if you want to go there, for years, publicly since January 2013, synthetic biology. It's in my two novels. I've been sharing with you where it is headed, showing you what is going to come to. One of the easy ways of understanding that is to look at stem cells. Pardon me. My fire pager's going off. I may have to leave because I'm on the fire department.
Flight 32. Motor vehicle fire.
I'm sorry, folks. I have to go.